Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Colerain, Massachusetts, as Pastor Jim Rennie continues to faithfully challenge and encourage us in the Word. And it is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, good morning and welcome to the First Baptist Church here in the hills of Western Massachusetts. Good to see you all. Those that are here, those that are watching, listening, wherever you may be, we are so pleased that you take the time to do that. We're studying through the book of St. Peter, first letter. He wrote two letters, probably wrote more, we don't know. Anyway, we're going to be reading chapter 3 today. And we're going to be reading from verse 8. To the end of the chapter. So I'm going to ask, what's your name? Yeah, to come and read it.
Good morning. Chapter 3, verse 8 through 22 on page 1890 in the hymnal in your pew. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil, and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But for the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone, whoever asks, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and with respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak meticulously, maliciously against you, your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slanders. It is better, if God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins, one for all, the righteousness for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into the heaven and is at God's right hand with the angels and authorities and powers in submission to him. Praise God for his word.
Thank you, Joe. I forgot his name. Just joking. All right. This message is going to be in two parts, so I'm not sure how far we're going to get with it today, but we'll see. Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we'll thank you again for those that are here, for those that, wherever you may be. We appreciate that, and we just pray that you will speak to us through this message, and we'll learn something new this morning. Help to apply these things that we do learn to our life out in every day in a practical way, because this book is very practical. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this message, Advice Plus Historical Facts, because really it's in two parts. And don't forget, when Peter wrote this, you know, he didn't break it up into chapters. That was done much later on. So he does change the subject somewhat. Like I say, it's going to be a two-part message. And let's start with Peter's advice. Advice, then we'll get the historical facts if there's time. This world is made up of all kinds of people, but everyone's different. God has made us that way. You know, like every snowflake is different. You know, every blade of grass is different. Every human being is different. And how should we interact with different types of people that we come into contact with? Those around us that we associate with, how do we interact with them? How should we treat them? Regarding other Christians, Peter says we are to live in harmony with one another. That's a wonderful thing. When Christians are dwelling and living in harmony with one another, it's a wonderful thing, but that's not always the case, unfortunately. But it should be, ideally, but none of us are perfect. We should also be sympathetic to one another. Amen? Sympathetic. And love as brothers. Love as brothers. You know, not always brothers get along, but if you're a believer in Christ, you're supposed to love one another as much as Christ loves us. And that's a, quite a tall order. We have to remember that. And give each other some slack, because none of us are perfect. And be compassionate. Compassionate. So show some compassion. Amen? It's a wonderful thing when people do that, when you're in need of it, to show compassion. When someone has lost a loved one, and you know what that's like when you lose a loved one, you can relate to that person. And be compassionate and relate and empathize, amen? And to be humble, now that's just not something that comes naturally, being humble. So we have to make the effort to be humble, to remind ourselves, you know, not to project the old nature, but to project Christ's nature in us, amen. Just to be thinking about that, to be humble. What's that song? It's hard to be humble when you're so good looking like me. I used to be, but not so much now. But what do they say? Beauty is only skin deep. What does that mean? Beauty is only skin deep. If you know what that means, tell me later. I have no idea. Anyway, compassionate. We are to be compassionate. Compassionate means when someone shares their troubles with you, they share their sorrows with you, they share their fears and concerns. We need to sympathize. We can sympathize with. We can make the effort to comfort them. And to pray for them. Now, when you say, I'll pray for you, oftentimes we tend to forget. So when you say to somebody, well, they share something with you, and you sympathize with them, and you empathize and relate to them, don't say, well, I'll pray about it. If you're going to pray, do it there and then. Otherwise, if you're anything like me, you'll forget. Okay? Do it then. And it brings comfort and healing to the soul. Amen. Caring for one another means being merciful and kind, just like Jesus was and is. Merciful and kind, just like God is merciful and kind to us. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4:15 says, For we have not a high priest, he's talking about Jesus, the great high priest. We have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So whatever you're going through, have been through, will go through, he knows exactly what you're going through because he's been there. God became a man. And he experienced every conceivable emotion that we can possibly go through in our life. He can relate to us. God became a man. Jesus, the great high priest. To be more like Jesus only happens, I would say, when we allow the Holy Spirit to transform us, to allow his power to shine through us. And I read a prayer from Charles Stanley, who's now with the Lord. I encourage you to read Charles Stanley. He's also put out a daily devotional. You can read the whole Bible in a year. And I was just reading it this morning. This is a prayer. It says, God, teach me the art of gentleness. In a world of blaring car horns, furious voices, and grieved souls, may I offer softness to strangers and to the people I know, the same tenderness you've shown me. Not harsh, rushed, or callous, you're filled with compassion and perfect love. When tempers start to rise and muscles begin to tense, when anger flares in people's eyes, let my presence bring a quietness, your light warming hearts, your peace flowing in my words. In Jesus' name, amen. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could be like that all the time? Jesus was. So that's how we relate to other Christians. And how do we respond to people that don't like us? Not that that would ever happen, of course. What it says there in verse 9, it says, do not repay evil for evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Again, I was reading Michael Youssef. I do read his devotional every morning. So appropriate. I believe he wanted me to read this morning. Not Michael, the Lord. Standing firm in the face of criticism. We can reach a stage of spiritual maturity where we are better able to manage our pain and forgive an injury. But only a person with ice water in their veins could say that criticism doesn't hurt. Jesus is our role model. He was constantly criticized and attacked. The Lord's enemies called him a glutton, a drunkard, a lawbreaker, a blasphemer, demon-possessed madman. Evil always tries to portray good as evil and evil as good. Evil men always try to create confusion and divert attention from their wickedness. When you are criticized for your faith in God's word, for your trust in Jesus Christ, for your belief in the gospel, look to Jesus. Remember his love and compassion, and also his unwavering commitment to do the will of the Father. Of course, Matthew chapter 5, 44. Jesus says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." So how do we respond to people that insult us, criticize us, accuse us? Do not repay evil for evil. Naturally, you want to get even. There's that saying, I don't get mad, I just get even. That shouldn't be our attitude. Amen? Peter's referring to people that use their tongue as an instrument to hurt us. And he quotes here from Psalm 34 to illustrate his point to control our tongues and not retaliate when we are verbally attacked. And it's easy to do that. Naturally, we want to retaliate to defend that injustice. James, St. James, Jesus' half-brother, writes that if any man can control his tongue, he's a perfect man. It's something we all struggle with, because the tongue is like a wildfire. It's out of control. It cannot be tamed. And there is no perfect man except Jesus Christ. So we must be careful how we relate, not just to one another, but particularly those outside of the church. Careful to watch what we say and not react naturally when we are provoked. We have a call to righteousness as believers. The call to righteousness is to do what is right, no matter how often while other people may treat us. So that's Jesus' point, Peter's point. Even if we suffer for doing good, we still are blessed and will be blessed because we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. So we don't really have any excuses, but those outside of Christ, they don't have the power to call upon the Holy Spirit like we do and allow him to work his grace through us. They don't have that capacity. And Peter goes on to say, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord." Revere Christ as Lord. To revere Christ is to honor Jesus, because we've been set apart. That's what it means to be a saint. You don't have to die to become a saint. As soon as you receive Jesus, you are a saint. In God's eyes, you're declared righteous. We are set apart for God. A life set apart for holiness requires the power of God to work in our lives. It's going to take a lifetime, and many lifetimes, and I'm not advocating, I don't believe in reincarnation. We're never going to be perfect until we meet the Lord, and then we'll be like him. What a day that will be. I don't know about you, but I got a long way to go. A life set apart for holiness requires the power of God to work in our lives and through our lives to revere Christ. We can do that, but we can only do it as long as we're in fellowship with Christ. And when we sin, when we disobey, we break that fellowship, and then we need to confess that sin and get back into fellowship with God and start over. So how can we retain that fellowship, which is so vitally important? I've just mentioned one of them, confessing our sins. We need to do it all the time. Paul mentioned it in Sunday school this morning. We need to do it constantly. Confess our sins, surrender to God's control, being led by the Holy Spirit to obey his word. you want that again? Confess our sins, surrender to his control, be led by the Holy Spirit, and obey his word. If we do that, we'll be in constant fellowship. And we'll experience the abundant life that he's promised we can have. But we just get in the way, don't we? We just get in the way. Amen? And now we have a command. See, the command is not just in the Old Testament. We've got commands in the New Testament, but we have the grace to keep those commands now because of Christ and Christ in us, the hope of glory. In verse 15, always, this is for us, Christian, always. How long is always? Always, thank you. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. See, our people outside of Christ, they have no hope. We do. And when someone asks us about our faith in Christ, we need to share the reason why we do have this hope that they don't have. Always be prepared, are we, to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And this is for every believer, to be ready to share their testimony and present the gospel message of hope to anyone who asks us about our faith in Jesus. Has anyone asked you about your faith in Jesus? When we do that, when we do give our testimony, share the hope that we have because of Christ who lives in us, that'll give the unbeliever an opportunity to become a believer. All right? To sow the good seed. And no one can take that away from you because it's your own personal testimony. And it's undeniable. Amen? The scripture says, and you know, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So hearing about Jesus and who he is and what he's done on a cross to save us, first it must be heard. Amen. It must be heard, then it must be understood, and then it needs to be believed. And that's how we got saved. We heard it, we understood it, and we got saved. We believed it by faith. Verse 18, it says there, for Christ died for sins once for all. He only had to do it once. That was enough. The righteous for the unrighteous. See, he was without sin. We're natural born sinners. We're unrighteous. We don't have any righteousness of our own. All our righteousness is as a filthy rag. The only righteousness that we have is what he gives us when we believe in him by faith. To bring you to God, he was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. Jesus is alive, very much alive, and he will never die. And those that place their faith in him will never die. Amen? Amen. Faith in Christ brings salvation by believing the fact that Jesus died to pay the penalty for our sins. Nobody can earn this salvation by doing good deeds, by our efforts, our works, our good works. We cannot earn that salvation. Not by good works, but by believing the work that Jesus accomplished on a cross. He did the work. And when he'd done the work, he said, "It is finished." And he was a carpenter too, the best carpenter who's ever lived. And I bet the work that he did was supreme. And he wouldn't finish until he finished the job. And he did finish the job. He paid it all with his own sinless blood. And nobody can be saved unless they hear it, believe it, and know it. Do you know it? You can know it. You're hearing it. Do you believe it? And then you can know it for sure. And nobody can know it unless you put your trust in what Jesus did for you personally. And I hope and pray that you will. I'm going to leave the second half of this message, Lord willing. We'll resume next week because there's a lot more to learn. But it's an entirely different subject. Amen? Thank you, and God bless you all. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your servant, Peter, who would be the first to admit that he wasn't a perfect man. But Lord, how he was changed and how you change us. And how you constantly are in the process of trying to conform us more to your Son. We must confess that we fall short of that ideal role model. But Lord, help us to remember to try to put these things into practice, to be loving, to be compassionate, to be kind, and not to function in the flesh and try to get even when provoked. And try, when people ask us about the hope that we have because of Christ, about our faith, give us the grace, give us the words as we open our mouth to share the hope that is within us so they too can come to know you as personal Savior. And I hope and pray those of you that have heard this message, you've heard the gospel this morning, and all you got to do is believe it by faith. Good works is not going to get you into heaven. Being a good person, none of us are. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the good news is that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Lord. And if you call upon his name, admit, confess to him with your mouth that you are a sinner and you're so grieved and sorry for the fact that Jesus had to pay that price and suffer and die in your place. And he did that because he loves you. And then believe in your heart that he did that, that he was buried and he rose again from the dead and he is alive. And if you call upon his name to save you and believe by faith what he did for you, then you are saved. You are washed. You are forgiven. And then live for him. Read your Bibles. Get into a church where they teach and preach the word and grow in your faith. And share it with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you all, and God bless you.
Thank you again for tuning in. You can find our podcasts on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else you find podcasts. We'd love for you to join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 81 Foundry Village Road, Coleraine, Massachusetts. If you have any questions or inquiries, please feel free to call the church at 413-624-8886. Hope to see you soon. God bless.